Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. And this Aspire radio program, this satsang, as we like to call it, is for Sunday, November the 20th, 2016. I am very grateful to be with you. I have some interesting questions for us today and hopefully some helpful answers. This radio program, like my TV programs that you can watch on the Aspire website here at aspire.org, are all made possible via my sponsors. They make all of this possible with their monthly and quarterly gifts, and I hope that you will join them and help us sustain our radio program and our TV program by becoming a sponsor, or at least making a year-end donation if our programs have helped you at all. We only stay alive due to your tax-deductible gifts, and without them, of course, we cannot pay for airtime. So please be generous, and if our radio programs and TV programs have meant anything to you over the years or even just recently, I hope that you will be generous, kind, loving, and allow us to continue. It's a very difficult thing to ask for donations. It's hard for people to hear it. It's hard for people to understand it. It's just hard in general. I don't know why, but it seems hard. We don't like giving. So there you are. And if you're a type of person like me who gives to things that serve my deepest nature and humankind, I hope that Aspire will be a part of that. Because believe me, it is more than helpful. I go to hospice and hospitals and serve people only out of the kindness of those of you who are sponsors. Okay, let's get to it today. I have some very interesting questions. This subject that I am going to be doing will be the subject for February of next year. For my discourses and my journal, my breath journal. And you can go on the website at aspire.org and go take a look at what the journal's all about and the discourses, as well as the message of the month, which is sent to all of you who are sponsors. It's about something that I have noticed over the years. This is not a popular subject. This is not a subject that most people want to talk about at all. Yet it is the cause of a great deal of suffering and even physical disease in people. As men, a little bit, you know, I've seen it, but mostly in women, believe it or not. It's called unrequited love. Unrequited love is one-sided love. It is a love that is not reciprocated in any way, shape, or form. And this is a very difficult thing. Usually it's about romantic love, typically, but it goes even further than that. When a person has had a great deal of trauma in their childhood, and little girls in the 40s, 50s, 60s, and I guess all the way through, have had tremendous difficulties with grandparents and parents and family. And there has been a lot of sexual abuse going on with the, you know, little kids, which I cannot even fathom. And I don't go there because I am not equipped to deal with hurting either a child or an animal. I have really hard time with both of those two things. And that's where I kind of lose my detachment a little bit. And I get a little, you know, hefty here. So I'm not going to go there on that because it doesn't serve the purpose of what I want to help you with today. But this unrequited love has a lot to do with affection that the human being needs and wants. And it is not reciprocated at all. So we're going to go into that a little bit today here on the Aspire radio program, and maybe I can use this as an entree into my February message of the month discourses and my breath journal that I offer to you. Here's the first question. All of these, interestingly enough, are from women. This one's from Mary. She does not tell me where she lives. Love is hard to find. Why is it so difficult for me? Am I some sort of freak that can never find love? Mary. Actually, her name is Mary Ann, so we'll just call her Mary Ann. I'm taking a deep breath on this one. Mary Ann, I don't know you. I don't know what your life circumstance is. I don't know, you know, the ins and outs of your life at all. So I'm just, you know, sitting here in the dark trying to help you. And hopefully I will be able to offer you a little bit of insight. You say love is hard to find. Sweet one, you don't find love in the world. And it is very difficult to find it in the world because not many people care much about love. They don't really understand the nature of it. Love is an inward thing. It's an inward journey. It has nothing to do with finding it in people and objects and things. But it has to do with finding a place inside you where you discover your authentic nature, where you actually discover who and what you truly are. The who of me reflects the what of me. And if I have not cultivated what is authentic and real inside me, the who will show that. So let me give you an example. If I have not discovered love within me, I will now be in search of love because my emotionality needs affection, needs reassurance, needs identity. People use relationships as a form of identity. Now, I'm going to use my own personal life here a little bit to help you, and maybe this will serve you well. At least I hope it does. My mother was a very, what do I want to say, emotional person, extremely emotional. She was a 50s girl. She had 50s mentality, 50s beliefs, 50s morals. My mother was not easy to get along with. She had a lot of emotionalism in her life. I spent one summer many years ago trying to find out about both my mother and my father in an effort to understand where I came from and why I had the emotionality I have. Okay? And I found out that my mother was raped by her grandfather. And this is not something new. This is something that I found to be true in a lot of women where a family member did sexual stuff that was inappropriate, to say the least. Anyway, my mother suffered through that. And in those days, in the 50s, you didn't talk about it. Now, this happened to her in the 40s. So she couldn't talk about it with anyone. She had to hold this on the inside. So my mother was a very attractive woman, blah, blah, blah. She attracted my father. And so they went on and on and on with each other. But my mother never really felt love from my father because she repelled it. She was afraid of it. I don't know if my father even knew of what happened to my mother with her grandfather. I don't even know. They died long before I could talk to them. So here she is running around in her life, Marianne, and she is trying to deal with what it is that's bothering her, her feelings about her grandfather being betrayed. There's a whole mess of things that go on with that. And it colored the way she lived with her emotionality. It congregated emotions for her, put them in a certain place, in a certain way, and set them into motion. In doing so, she then mentally started to live her life around the idea that maybe she wasn't a good person or whatever. Assumptions are made. And the next thing you know, she's running around with the idea that she needs a man to help her survive. That's in her genetics and her DNA. But she hates men because of what happened. So there is the setup. She needs a man, hates the man. Needs a man, hates the man. He feels it. My father married my mother. He felt it. I know he did because when I was a kid, he said, your mother is not very affectionate, nor is she very kind to me. And I understood why, because I had to live with her too. And I was aware of it. And I come from that broken nature inside as well. So I'm getting to understand the nature of both of them. And I learned about unrequited love. My mother wanted to be loved, but she put up the barriers that made it impossible for her to be loved without knowing it. She didn't do this consciously. She kind of did it unconsciously. That's the way it works. We do a lot of things very unconsciously. And because we do, we miss what it is to live our life in kindness, compassion, and love. And in doing that, we create unrequited love. The human body, the human emotionality wants affection. We call it love, but it really isn't. It's just affection, and it wants it now, and it wants it constantly to reassure us of our identity, because we build our identity, our persona, around the congregating of emotions within us. And as long as we have these emotions congregated, we know who we are. We put them in a place inside of us where we show the ones we want people to see, and we hide the ones we don't want them to see. And all of this formulates Greg Penn and your, Marianne, your personality. And as these personalities grow, we begin to see that what we have hidden is becoming more and more and more important to us. And we don't want to reveal it, and yet we want it dealt with through affection. We're not going to deal with it through an authentic spiritual practice. We're not going to deal with it through changing our lifestyle and moving into a more honest lifestyle within us. We're not going to do that. We're going to do things that are socially acceptable, mentally doable, and that ain't much, and live our life out from there. What I have found in my career, Marianne, is that a lot of women suffer from this. It blows my mind, the abuse, the sexual abuse, the oral abuse that people give people, saying unkind things and everything, that creates within the human psyche, men and women, this unrequited love thing. We want to be loved, but we're not getting that love. We want to be affectionized to a certain degree, but we don't get that affection. And we are told we have to deserve it to get it, and we have to be better people, la, la, la. And it goes on and on and on this way. And there is a gap. There is a terrible thing that happens within us. We don't know who we are without the pain, the sorrow, and the need for emotionality. All of this goes on and on and on within us. And it is caused because we are looking at our life from the perspective of our emotions. And that's why unrequited love is so painful. In my mother, it caused cancer. I have had students, one recently, one struggling with it now, and others who are also sick and have cancer due to the fact of unrequited love. It is a burning issue in women because it affects them at their level of DNA, where they are the stick gatherers, the children bearers, and all of that other stuff. And even if they get to fulfill all of that, it's their need for security that they don't have. And that's where the unrequited comes from. When her man does not supply her with what she wants and what she believes she deserves rightfully from her womanhood, that is when the illnesses and things begin. And I find that a lot of women, a lot, are mentally ill. Absolutely go off the deep end. And these are people who are married and unmarried. It doesn't matter if they have a mate or don't. It's all about the emotionality. I know, you're screaming, he doesn't like women. And that's not true. I'm just telling you what I've seen. Marianne, the only antidote is meditation, love, compassion, all the things that the ego doesn't want to do. That's the only thing you have. I have it. I have to work on it too. I have unrequited love. Same thing as any woman would have. But mine manifests in a different way. Yours manifests your way in a female body. Mine manifests in a male body. And we all have to deal with it. That's why we need not find better partners. We need to find the love that lives within, that is always there. I hope that helped. This is a huge question, huge subject, and I hope to give it better treatment in the winter when we go into February. Please forgive me. Namaste. The next one. How do you love your exes? Linda. She does not tell me where she lives. I talk about this thing of forgiveness, Linda, and obviously you're picking up on it. Our exes, we all have them. I have them, you have them. And they are people who we auditioned for love. Finding that unrequited love in them, the love they gave us, which wasn't suitable to our generic genetic and DNA purposes, just have to go away. I mean, it just didn't work. But you see, I'm the ilk that a person is not here to serve my emotional needs. A woman is not here to serve me. She's not here to cater to my emotionality. And once I understood that, and it took a long time, for me to understand that, I suddenly realized what kind of fool I am, as Sammy Davis said. And once you understand that a person, male or female, is not there to make you feel better, they're not there to give you that old idea of admiration and romantic affection. Once you realize, oh, they're here as a messenger from the beyond, a hand from beyond, that is when something of the higher nature can take place. Something of love can finally happen. And when that occurs, when we are in that modality, in that mood, in that being, that is when real happiness starts to occur. And you don't need to constantly be affectionized, although there is affection, there is the touch, there is beautiful sex, there is a beautiful way of dealing with frustration and fears of inadequacy. There's all sorts of beautiful things that can happen. Prosperity, forgiveness, oneness. We are all seeking the oneness, but you're not going to find it in another person. Again, you first have to find it within yourself. When you forgive your exes, really forgive them, the door flies open and something new and more beautiful will come into your life. Whether it be a man or a woman, I don't know. But I guarantee you the doors are open. And how we interpret those doors through the way we think or the way we believe or whatever, which, you know, shouldn't be. You Interpretation is not important. What is important is recognition, not interpretation. You have to recognize how beautiful all of this is and how beautifully it will work in your life. Once that is understood, that is when love begins to open up, and that's when your life begins to change. My life will not change because of a woman. Your life will not change because of a man. Our lives change because of love, of compassion, forgiveness. Forgive them. Forgive those men. Forgive those people. We know not what we do. And once you understand that, really understand that, you will embrace them because they were the best you could be with. They were the best you could do. They were the best at that time for you. They brought into your life the things that were most pertinent for your spiritual growth. And whether you believe in spiritual growth or not, it don't matter. It's still there. And if you can't recognize it, then you'll go into victim, and that will be ugly. And that keeps going on and on and on. And that's when people really lose it. They just don't get it because it doesn't fit the gestalt of their thinking. And they just hate it. I hope that helps. Please forgive me. Namaste. And the last question. This one comes from, let's see, Beth. Here it is. I want to be loved, and I have a family. It is hard to find a good man these days. Where would you suggest I begin? Beth, I saved yours for last because it is so pertinent. You begin with yourself. You don't go looking for a man. You go looking for love within you. What is it about you that would make it possible for someone to truly love you? What would it be inside you that would mature and grow to where you could be absolutely self-sufficient without the need for a man to come into your life and give you all the toys and goodies you believe you deserve? What would that be like? That is what you have to look at, not whether or not you find the right guy. It isn't about finding the guy. It is about finding within yourself the nature of who and what you are. So if you do that, if you are able to do that, if you are willing to do that, that means you'd have to grow and mature and change your ways and find a deeper, more profound path into love. Now, you can do that. Any one of us can do that. But to do it requires a significant amount of inner work. You're going to have to do the hardest thing in life, and that is love yourself. But not the self that is the ego self. You're going to have to recognize that ego self. You're going to have to begin to realize you are the love itself. That's what I mean when I say love yourself. You have to realize you're the love itself. You are not the love that brings another person into your world. You are the love itself. And if you can understand that, if you can be aware of that, if that can become possible with you through maturing spiritual growth and development, then something of the other shore will reach you and you will find great love with or without anyone. But people don't want that. They want, as one of my colleagues used to say so aptly, we like our love, our gods, with skin on. And there just aren't any. And if you start looking for people in that way, you will miss exactly what I'm talking about and what the meaning of your own existence is all about. And that is the worst that can happen to any of us, to put our totality into another person and say, you are responsible for how I love myself. Ouch. I'm out of here. I hope some of this helped you. There will be more explanation in February, but I thought it would be good to touch on it today. Have a beautiful weekend. Thank you for listening. And please forgive me, eh? Namaste.